Quinny News, chatting with Sander Johnson of Potter Settlement Wines, and a big win just coming out of San Francisco. We'll backtrack a little bit. Sander, you're located just outside of Tweed. I mean, a lot of people in the wine game have started to notice first on taste and then learning about the fact that it is Tweed where you're located, because we hear Niagara, we hear Peely, we hear Prince Edward County. Tweed seems to be the odd name out, but it's not because of the taste, it's the location. What has Tweed got, that area, that has made the wine so recognizable or so popular?
We have a huge advantage here, that being we are the mineral capital of Canada. And if you know anything about wines, you go to Prince Edward County or Niagara, they'll say, oh, we're so mineral here. And I go there, I'm like, yep, you're just limestone. Or you go to France, and they'll say, oh, terroir, c'est très minéral. I'm like, yep, you're just chalk. Here in Tweed, we've got everything. I believe out of 5,000 catalog minerals, or 4,500 are found right here. You know about everything about the Bancroft Mineral Jamboree. So that is the first ace we have on our hand. The second ace we have on our hand is that we actually pioneered some grapes for Canada here. And we were recognized last year by the Premier's Award for pioneering the Frontenacs, Marquette, and Petite Pearl. The Marquette and Frontenacs were developed by the Honeycrisp Apple team, the scientists that created the Honeycrisp Apple in Minnesota. They basically married Quebec and so a lot of North American grapes back to France, so they can tough out the cold. They can tough out the local diseases because they've got that Quebec heritage, but they have all the beautiful flavor profiles of Europe, Marquette being the big one that we won last week in San Francisco. That was 950 wineries, 31 countries, 4,300 entries, 60 judges from around the world, and our Marquette won gold. And that's not a small thing. I believe only 8 wineries from Canada won, 5 from BC, 2 from Niagara, and us off the beaten path. So there's something to be said for these new developments that are creating wine growing areas where not so much as even like 15 years ago was impossible.
Can you explain to me how the categories work? Because there's still, despite the fact that wine's thousands of years old, unless you're really into it, there is a lot of knowledge needed to really grasp grapes. So can you explain the categories and maybe how many you are competing against?
Well, there are several categories. You've got sparklings, rosés, you've got whites, reds, late harvests. So it's across the board. We competed against Bordeaux's and reds from all over the world. So there's definitely that heavy competition. My problem is, and I want to kind of zero in on this quick, because I think the real story here is the fact that this grape that we pioneered here can win internationally. I can win gold. I actually won in New York City this summer with the same grape. We won silver. I won honors at Intervin. That's one of the biggest wine awards in Canada. I was invited to serve President Obama some years back in the White House as part of a trade mission that spurs American economic growth worldwide. And that economic growth was basically pioneering that grape here for our country. And then I was invited to serve our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, last fall. So all these accolades, winning all these medals, and yet the VQA in Ontario and my Ontario government won't even let me sell at my local farmer's market. That's a problem. We have to really revisit our laws and regulations concerning wineries, one of them being the fact that the U.S. offers a small winery tax credit. Not so in Ontario. They tax us right across the board, whether you're making $100 million or making $100,000. And that really hurts the little guy. You know, if you have the income tax, the rich, you know, pay a bit more than the poor, but not so much in the wine industry. We pay 5 times more taxes in the wine industry than the next industry below us, which is gasoline and then cigarettes. So one thing to be overtaxed, it's another thing to not be able to get your product to market. I mean, I want to create an economy here in Tweed. That's really important. I want to hire local people. This is a world-class wine. I want to get it out there, but my government is saying no. The third problem I see is that they're getting me on the other end, too. Being a small business, this May they came out with the 500% Alcohol and Gaming Commission tax rate. So what was a $75 fee for 3 days is now $450. Now, that might not be a big deal when you got a big event in Toronto, but when you're the little guy out here in Tweed, Ontario, and you want to go to your farmer's market, or say you've got a theater company like Tim Porter has here in Tweed, where he has to sell alcohol at intermission, or people would love to have a glass of beer or wine. He can't afford it. So our MP, Mike Bossia, was at an event. He just shook his head. He said, this is outrageous that the Ontario government has prevented us from imbibing responsibly, and we do. You know, we're smart, sir. We don't have to be so heavily policed, as they're saying this is all for public safety. Well, I think that's an excuse just as a tax grab. And but my concern is like, wow, I just won gold. Yay, we won for the world, and I've got international orders coming in from all over the world, but I can't even go to Belleville and sell at my farmer's market? That's a problem.
What do you see as the solution?
I think I'm very hopeful that the Conservative Party under Doug Ford will, if he's serious about making Ontario open for business again, let's start cutting the bureaucracy. How many alcohol entities do we need? We've got the LCBO, we got AGCO, we got the VQA. I mean, how many bureaucrats do we need to manage this? Let's whittle that down. Let's have some smart policies that spur economic growth, like, say, recognizing Marquette or the Frontenacs in my example, to help me create an economy, which is, I mean, this isn't junk wine. This is world-class stuff. There's no excuse why this can't be available to the broader market. So my hope is that the Conservative Party will really look at this and change the landscape for the betterment of not just the Ontario's small alcohol producers like craft breweries, ciders, and wineries, but also for the Ontario citizens that don't have access to this. And you have to understand, Tim, that it's kind of like the Soviet Union. Because the government has invaded the alcohol industry, they've kind of skewed things more towards bulk mass-produced stuff. So in Russia, the Russians basically ran the food for the Soviet citizenry. The citizens had one type of yogurt they could get at the store or one type of ice cream. Well, in Ontario, we have access to one type of wine, and that's kind of bulk mass-produced stuff. And the government likes that because the more bulk stuff they can buy cheap, they can add their tax to it and make a lot of money. But it's not good for the Ontario consumer. Another issue we have here is the VQA. And the VQA, they have a tasting panel that decides what you get to drink based on what they like or don't like. And we're one of the few places in the world with that. Not even some Muslim countries have that, and they're you know sometimes dead against alcohol. But when a bureaucrat decides if the wine is good or bad, as opposed to the free market, that's where I have a problem with it. Let the people decide. If the wine's bad, the company will go bankrupt. But when you got a bureaucrat sitting in a room going, yeah, this Chardonnay isn't really what we think it should taste like, well, then you're really missing, you know, the good stuff, or award-winning wines, or edgy wines that could be really fascinating. So I think the government needs to get out of the way, and I think that they need to start reducing these debilitating rules and regulations that are preventing gold medal winners like mine from reaching thirsty Ontario consumers that were really appreciated.
Talking to Sandor Johnson, Potter Settlement Artesian Wineries. Now, the Marquette was the gold winner. The Cabernet Franc was the silver. What does this kind of recognition do for a small winery? And let's call it what it is, off the beaten path. People are not going to a region of Tweed for wine, but they are going to you for
yes.
The wine. Are you hoping to see Tweed become a wine region, or are you happy having kind of the gem off the beaten path?
Well, I am happy with the gem, but let's be honest. I would love to see Tweed as a wine-growing region. We can do it. Actually, I'm working with Andrew Ridden from the Hastings County Economic Development Committee. At some point, I'll be doing seminars. I love competition. I think competition breeds excellence. I would love to see more producers here and draw more growth to our county. We can do it. We can make world-class wines here, and there's no excuse why we can't. It just took us to figure it out. You have to understand that this project began with a lot of losses. Because we're so far north, I just happen to have a team of people here making wine. Not just one person. Actually, my parents sent my kid brother to school to study wine. He graduated from the Covey program and worked making wine abroad. But I have a brewmaster on my team. I have a sommelier on my team. So it's not just one person, but that's my own personal business model. In terms of economic growth, I think that if other folks planted a vineyard here, they would benefit from my losses in the past. So I figured, Tweed, Germany, let's try the German stuff. I put about 20 grand worth of Riesling here. They all died. I tried Liebfraumilch. They all died. I tried Gewürztraminer. They all died. I tried Grüner Veltliner. They all died. But what saved me were really the Americans and the Honeycrisp Apple team by creating these grapes, by marrying North America and Quebec with France and with the rest of Europe. See, you have to understand there's a dirty secret in the wine industry that nobody talks about. From Niagara to Napa, a lot of these grapes that come from France, like Merlot or Cabernet Sauvignon, require systemic sprays to keep the plant alive. These grapes did not evolve here. But ours with the Quebec genetics allows me not to spray anything. So they're better for the environment. You're not requiring fungicides. They're better for you. And it's just all around just a positive thing. So I would like to help other people or other families in our area grow our economy by planting vineyards here. And it's a beautification thing. And I know the grape growers of Ontario, most people don't know this, but every acre of grapes produces more income and revenue than an acre of oil sands from Alberta. So the more I can get this going, the better. It's just that I'm combating my own government for success, and there's really no reason for these rules and regulations. Like, why can't I even sell it at my local farmer's market? Why can't I get it out in the LCBO without punishing taxation? The system is broken in ways that you can't, it's hard to imagine. You've heard of the cellar rack and the wine rack. Why do these guys get their own stores to sell wine where I'm only allowed to sell it here at my winery? I mean, I'm actually kind of competing against my own government because the LCBO doesn't want me to have stores or sell my wines abroad because I'm competing against them. When you're in a situation that's broken and you're competing against your own government, that's just a recipe for disaster. So it's my hope that our new party can address these serious issues and make a better economic landscape for us all.
Sander Johnson with Potter Settlement Artesian Winery. Congratulations on the win and best of luck moving forward.
Thank you.